Yes, in Jesus' name we come and we give you all the thanksgiving, praise, honor, hallelujah, and worship. We adore you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, beautiful Lamb. Lord, we're so grateful for the blood, hallelujah, poured forth, Lord God. And there on that mercy seat, Jesus, may we just continue to keep our eyes and our focus looking to the mercy of our Lord till you come. Lord, thank you for that love that's been shed abroad to us. Thank you, God, that it's even offered to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now take this word, God, and let us feast on it. Lord, awaken us out of any slumber there may be, Lord God. Wash our feet this morning, Lord Jesus, and just encourage us more in your word. How much you are for us. How much you care for us. Lord, how you want us, Lord God, to take all the things of Christ, Lord, and make them mine. God, let the Holy Ghost do that today. Lord, let your anointing be upon this people, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, let us just get a little more excited about being with you, Lord. Thank you that you're here. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you cannot lie. Thank you that your promises are yea and amen. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You open your Bibles. We'll be going to Philippians 3 and then 2 Corinthians 4. And I'd like to begin today with a question. Who are you? Who am I? Who are you and who am I? Now, the world does not feel very comfortable with a question like that. Somebody came up to you and said, hey, who are you? You know, that'd be a tough one maybe to answer. You probably don't want to answer that. That's too much truth to tell you who I am, huh? We would rather stay with questions like, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? But the one question and the only question that really matters for your life and my life is, who are you? Who are you? And I'm not talking about where you're from. I'm not speaking about your background. I'm not even talking about your name. But who are you? And praise be to God, if you're saved here this morning, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, the answer for every one of us to who we are is, we're a child of God. Who am I? I'm a son of God. Who am I? I'm everlasting because of Jesus. Who am I? I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. Who am I? I'm a citizen of heaven. Who am I? Well, I'm neither Jew nor Greek. I'm neither bond nor free. I'm neither male nor female. I'm one in Christ. And praise be to God, your life and my life, as it tells us very sweetly and clearly in Galatians 2:20, who am I? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, that's who I am. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who am I? It's all because of the new birth. Who am I? It's all because of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, aren't we thankful that it is absolutely clear, there is no doubt who each and every one of God's children are. But the question is today, what are we living? Really, what are we living? Are we living the old passed away things? Because who am I? All things, the old things are passed away. And all things have been made new. So again, the question is am I living the old things? Am I living the past things? Let's put it this way. Am I living my first birth? Are you living your first birth? Or are you living your new birth? Are you living, in a sense, the birth of born of man? Or are you living the birth when you gave your heart to Jesus, I'm born of God? Are we living the old first birth, which has now become the lie? Or am I living the brand new in Christ born of God life, the truth? Who are we? Amen? Now we know who we are, but what are we living? Again, the world says who you are is what you do and what you have. Huh? Oh, it can be even stretched. It goes on to say, the world says, well, who you are is who you were born to. Your nationality, the color of your skin. That's who the world says you are. But then I'm going to ask you this. Could it even become who am I is my education, my economic status? Whether high or low, you know, brother, that's who I am. But as the Apostle Paul clearly told us and he showed us, and we're going to read here in just a minute, he said, actually, all of that stuff that you're thinking you are, that's dung. That's refuse. You know, and I appreciate the clarity of it. You know, it's the stuff, if you got a dog, you go out and clean it up. That's anything about your life that isn't in Christ. Gets pretty to the point, doesn't it? And it is a sobering thing to think about. And it would be very alarming. And I heard a brother say this the other day, and I loved it. You get in a room and you come up to somebody, instead you say, you know, hi, my name is this, and, you know, where are you from and all that. Who are you? Huh? Well, what happens if I knew you and I came up and said that to you? You'd say, well, did you lose your mind? You know who I am. No, who are you? Oh, Lord, search me. Amen? Okay, stay with it now. Apostle Paul, he told us, didn't he? He said, all of this old stuff is passed away, and anything in or of my flesh, if that defines my life one bit, that could cause me to not run well. If that becomes an idol in my life for some way that it becomes something of a first love more, than the life of Christ in me, the hope of glory. As we've heard that saying, Houston, we got a problem. And that's the truth. Because you're not going to take off. You're going to be hindered in your run. God help us that the cares of this life do not consume us. Let's listen to what Brother Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now this is the chief a sinner, because he was so capable and confident of what his flesh was about. And you could think of that in any way. You could think of that in a way that it's such a positive attribute of your life. Or it can stumble you that you think it's such a negative attribute of your life. It doesn't matter how your confidence is in the flesh. If it's in the flesh, it will stumble you. It will. Let's go back and read that first part again. As Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me in my flesh, in your flesh, if you're glorying somehow or dwelling in your flesh, those I counted loss for Christ. That means if I didn't count it loss for him, it would rob me. I would be robbed. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, in case you don't get it, or me, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Do you see the emphasis here? It's about winning Christ. This is speaking about winning Christ Jesus as your bridegroom. It all has to be lost. It all has to be counted dung. No matter how much the world wants to put your flesh on a platter and have you eating it and feasting upon it and caring for the cares of this life about you and whatever whatever is about you, and the world will come at you about you, and the world can only give you about you, because the world will never give you Jesus. It'll never give you the eternal. It'll always tempt you over and over and over to get you to believe that the importance is the temporal instead of the eternity that God has in store for him and you. Goes on to finish as he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We're about the word of God, aren't we? He wants us to only be about the word of God because that's the life that lives in us. Christ lives in you. Amen? And Christ is the word. Amen? So praise be to God. It's the word that is my life that lives in me. Now I read this here and I'll tell you what. You talk about a man that had a pedigree. You talk about an intelligent man. You talk about a following, a history. But praise be to God, no matter what he had, and what he's encouraging us is no matter what we have or what we had, it's all but dung. The thing that we have that's so beautiful, brothers and sisters, and again, we've been rejoicing this on Wednesday nights, is the oneness that we have with the Father and the Son. We have that oneness. We have that life. We have been made in that wonderful unity of the Spirit. But even though, brothers and sisters, we have been given this, that it is ours, it doesn't mean that we're living it. It doesn't mean that we're walking in it. It doesn't mean that this is our joy and our exceeding great reward, brothers and sisters. Oh, I'll tell you, there's so many things that will get at us to try to distract us or how we're going to get to this point. But I love how the Word of God says so many times, being, just be, just be. Now, what do you mean by that, brother? What does just be really mean? Well, just be who you are in Christ. Just living, praise God, in the oneness of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a battle. And one of the great battles that we have in our life is the temporal versus the eternal. The temporal, eternal battle. Go on over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's read 14. Through 18. For the love, that's a good verse too. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. Do you see here that the inward man is Christ in you? The inward man is Christ in you. That's the life from above. Whereas the outward man, speaking of here, is speaking of flesh. And if you go in and read about that word flesh in the Greek, that word also means strange. Isn't that amazing? That the outward man, that flesh, it means strange. And I love the Word of God, and I love the Word when we go in as the Holy Ghost gives us encouragement. See, if we'll know the Word of God, we'll know who we are and who we're not. Amen? See, you didn't just have a child and say, okay, that's great, it's our kid, just go on and grow up. You need to train that child up. You need to, again, instruct that child and nurture that child into who and what that child is, and by the grace of God, who that child can become. How much more so our Father with the Word of God, and that's the instruction is the Word of God to us. But see, the sound one, the healthy one, is this inward one. The strange one is this carcass. The strange one, brothers and sisters, is the one that goes by feeling. The strange one is the one that consumes our lives with the cares of this life. That's exactly what this is saying. That's not who you are. We're just, again, speaking to a person that caught up in a lot of guilt, a lot of remorse, and sometimes you can get angry with that. But brothers and sisters, we need to be brothers and sisters in the Lord that rightfully divide the truth. We need to encourage each other in Scripture. And God, help us to be quick to love. And in loving, you speak truth in love. It's not just that you don't stand in truth. A lot of people say, well, you're loving, you're just patting them on the head. No, you're not. You're encouraging them in the love of Jesus. That's more than a pat on the head. That's the embrace that never lets you go. And basically what had been going on is that this person was such in remorse and guilt about sin reigning upon their life, but the ones that were around them that are Christians were basically magnifying and telling that person that they basically commit a lot of sin. Now, see, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that whosoever is born of God doth not sin and cannot sin. Amen? Now, that again is this inward man. Now, here we have this sin that's in this flesh, this carcass that this inward man is in. Huh? But let me ask you something. Doesn't the Word of God say when this corruptible puts on the incorruptible? Huh? That ain't going to be no more. There's a battle. There's a war going on. But we need to understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? And see, this is what this is getting at. When we try to serve, again, the lusts of this flesh, when we try to live, in a sense, what this flesh wants to live, or the feelings thereof, of this carcass, it's the lie. It's the strange thing. It's the thing that I am not. Amen. Praise God. You know what? By the grace of God, this is his flock out here today. Amen? I believe it. And I'm praying by the grace of God, every life in this place is accepted Jesus as Savior. And you're sheep. Amen? Have you always acted like a sheep once you were a sheep? No. I've acted like a wolf, a jerk, stupid. Well, sheep are kind of stupid. But not when they're following the shepherd. But what I'm getting at here is you can act like a lot of things, but you're a sheep. Amen? Nothing but. Never will be anything but as a child of God. But we have this prince in the power of this air. Can you imagine? It is Satan. And it didn't get by God. Matter of fact, he set it up exactly like that. Because he loves to show that it's only he that can do it. You think about that again. Here he gives us this all-glorious life, this wonderful, all-powerful life. And then he puts it in the most weak thing there is, this weakened flesh. And then he sets this life in this flesh, in this world where the prince and the power of this air. See, that's why people know the Word of God. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God right now. He will take the throne as God someday, but he hasn't done that yet. There's something very precious that's going on right now, like nothing that could compare. And that's the trial of your faith. Believing, hallelujah, that, praise God, the new man, that Christ in me is the hope of glory. That, yes, there's a battle going on here, but I believe, praise God, I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. See, that's the beauty of it. Because you know, as you walk with God and being honest before the Lord, you know you can't get it done. You know you're going to fail. You know you're going to make mistakes. But I don't have to dwell in that. I can dwell in the fullness and allow the new man to be the fullness of this life. And that, yes, that then living that life, praise God, walking in His Spirit, I don't have to have those lusts fulfilled in my life. I can be so full of the joy of the Lord that truly my mind is not distracted. I begin to get captivated by the thoughts, praise God, of His glory. I begin not to live down here by the grace of God. I'm just living over there. Amen? Understand that. Know that. You fight the good fight of faith. And faith is the word of God. Jesus said it. And it is so. It is written. It's yea and amen. Anything apart is a lie. Brothers and sisters, the strange one is the one that feels and is consumed with the cares of this life. But I'm going to ask you this. That's not the life that we'll be living for eternity. It's not the life that we are right now. So why be robbed trying to live something that first of all we're not, and second of all never will be? It makes us feel stupid, doesn't it? It does. But that's why we need the mind of Christ, because anything but the mind of Christ, I will tell you, is stupid. It's confused. It won't go the right way. It'll try to fool itself. Because see, that's again the prince and the power of this air, the devil. He's the author of lies. He's the author of confusion. He's the one that gets a double-minded man, wars against himself and he falls. A house that's divided falls. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Brothers and sisters, living the outward man, living this flesh, will never fully live the beauty of the inward man. The glorious man that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's all there, the little Lord of all that is your life. Living the life of the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, the miracle of the Spirit reigning and performing His miracles in us. And brothers and sisters, that's the miracle. It's faith. The miracle that calls those things which be not as though they were. The miracle, as we just read about Paul, that I'm not looking at the temporal. The miracle by the grace of God that, Lord, I see the eternal in this. Lord, I see your plan. I see the provision. Do you see how much more of the truth we need to see? Do you see that's why we've been so rejoicing. And as Paul said, praying in your most holy faith. You know, that confuses most people. And all I do is I sit there and I say, well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Well, what is most holy? If you look that up, holy is set apart. It's set apart to the Lord. The most holy set apart faith, believing of the word of God. That's knowing the whole counsel of God. That's why he gave us, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost. As he told those disciples, I have many things to say to you after 3.5 years with them. But I can't tell you those things right now because you can't understand them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Ghost, he's been with you and shall be in you, then you can be guided and led into all truth. And then can you imagine the perfect order of the word of God? And then shortly thereafter, here comes my chosen vessel, the Apostle Paul, who brings forth this wonderful mystery that has been hidden from the prophets and the Son of Men, and now is made known to us. Why wasn't it made known to the Old Testament saints? Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, in the instruction to be led into all truth. They did not have that power and that ability. It wasn't given till now. It wasn't God favored us more than them or anything. He loves all of his sons. But he knew what you would take. And he knew what they would take. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, who am I? Who am I? Oh, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a chaste virgin under Christ. Who am I? I'm a life that is called by Paul's gospel. Who am I? I am called to be awake. Who am I? I am called to be alive, in tune by the grace of God, loving the soon appearing of my bridegroom. That's who I am. And all by the grace of God, all by the grace of God, is just turn my eyes upon Jesus. All by the grace of God is lay aside these weights. Here's the weight. It's the cares of this. And it's subtle. And it don't stop. It don't stop. Don't ever think you get in the zone and, oh, I'm just in the zone. That precious trine of your faith, honeys, it ain't going to stop till we see Jesus. It ain't going to stop. And it is well. It is so well. Because this is the perfect plan of God. That you would be tried beyond you. That it would be a trial and a trial and a trial. That but for God you would say this is strange. And I'm talking about the strange that you've grown up in the truth. By the grace of God, he's matured you in the truth. But you get to a point. You say, Lord, I'm having a hard time believing. Lord, I'm at a place I don't got no praise. Lord, I'm running low. Lord, I just want to go. You ever say that? Oh, I just want to go. He don't want you going that way. And I'm going to tell you what. He's already told me, son, you ain't going that way. I'm going the way, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm seeing you. I'm seeing you. I'm seeing you in this furnace. I'm seeing you in this den. I'm seeing you up in these mountains with the leopards around me and the lions feasting on me. I'm seeing you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm beginning to unloose myself from the lies of this life, the lies of those old things, the lies that have held on, that I've held on to, instead of living the truth that who am I? Oh, it's Christ in me. Who are you? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And here we go. Fight the good fight of faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He loves you. He loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your tender hand upon your sons. Father, thank you that you encourage us so. Father, thank you that you love us. And thank you, Lord, that you're so patient and long-suffering. But I do thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the Son that came to you to send him to us. Lord, I thank you so much that you are enlightening the eyes of our understanding. That God, we're not walking around as children anymore. We've put away these childish ways. And we're beginning to run as the fully mature grown sons of God. Lord, cause us to run well. Let us desire and pant, Lord, to please you. To take the grace of God. And live that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me. Lord, thank you again for the promises of God. In Jesus' name, let every life here today just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.